not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a tedium when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
We have images of this recreational vehicle. It's quite large, and notably, it's yellow. Some of those commenting on this are claiming, absurdly, it was almost certainly Trump supporters trying to kick off a civil war. That's all they've been talking about for weeks. Well, if you wanted to kick off a civil war, you wouldn't have a van there with an announcement that a bomb is about to go off. I mean, that's just a ludicrous explanation. Before the explosion, witnesses heard what they took to be the sound of gunshots and the loudspeaker announcing, telling them to evacuate because the RV contained a bomb. About 20 minutes, the warning altered itself to a 15-minute countdown. Oddly, the Nashville mayor was laughing and smiling while talking about the explosion. He's a Democrat, of course. It turns out that they have a suspect they now claim to have recognized or identified as DNA, one Anthony Q. Warner, who had Tennessee permits, both as an alarm contractor for custom alarms and electronics, but also as someone who was permitted to handle explosives. Meanwhile, in a first sign of what was going on, the bombed AT&T building has connections to Dominion voting machines. Surprise, surprise. The AT&T building in Nashville blown up today was owned by Cerebus Capital, owners of Dominion voting systems. Guess what? And then, of course, you know, the idea that anyone should think this election was legitimate when it was grossly stolen on its face continues to astound me. We have images of Obama drawing massive crowds. He earned 69 million votes in 873 counties. Trump, even larger crowds, 74 million votes, 5 million more than Obama. He carried 2,497 counties. Meanwhile, Biden couldn't draw 10 people to a rally. It's absurd to think that he should have won 81 million votes. Ridiculous. From 877 counties, there was no popular support for Joe Biden. Joe Biden had run for president 3 times in the past until South Carolina had not won a single primary or caucus, where Kamala Harris was the very first Democrat candidate to drop out of the race. She didn't make it to Iowa. And we're supposed to believe they received an historic turnout from the American people. Ridiculous. Meanwhile, Mike Adams has been on top of this. Natural explosion was actually a missile strike. The target was the AT&T NSA hardened switching facility spy hub. This looks right to me, where the 1995 Oklahoma City Murrah building bombing followed a similar script, where the fertilizer bomb in the truck, allegedly driven by Timothy McVeigh, was a distraction from the far more massive demolitions that were used to destroy the building, where we have two seismic blasts, the relatively modest from the fertilizer bomb, which was, by the way, separated from the building by a considerable distance, and most of the force of the explosion went outward into empty space, versus the actual demolitions that were used, which were massive and left a far more substantial, a seismic imprint. We know the location, which was blurred out by Google Street Maps, housed the AT&T NSA router complex, allowing the NSA to spy on phone conversations and phone texts of anyone using the AT&T network. The Intercept article, the wiretap rooms, explained the existence of hidden NASA spy hubs all across America. Let me just elaborate on that. Two of my friends, I spoke with them yesterday, had both experienced major computer problems, blockage, sluggish, and the like, all of which disappeared concurrent with the explosion in Nashville. So I believe that's further confirmation. We have screenshots from a video showing the incoming missile trail, meaning it was a military operation, that the missile was fired from an aircraft, or let me add a drone. It turns out there's a drone base at the Nashville airport, which is only like 6 miles away from the location of this bombing. Then we have the explosion taking place. YouTube's going to scrub it. Here we have a photograph of the address, which is blocked out, showing the AT&T spy hub storefront blurred out by Google. That was an odd thing for them to have done. Finally, as I explained in a situation update, it seems the explosion may have been engineered to maximize local EMP effects in order to take out sensitive electronics housed in the AT&T NSA center. What he appears to have missed is that the owners of Dominion Voting System own the building where their former executives from Cerebus. Rumor is it, and this is puzzling on more than one ground, AT&T got the contract to do the forensic audit on the Dominion machines. Many are being transported to the Nashville location this week. That suggests that the real objective of the strike was to take out the AT&T Dominion servers. That would have provided additional overwhelming proof of the manipulation of the election. Now, Andy Ngo has broken a story where an RV can be found in a Google search map of the address linked to Anthony Quinn Warner, person of interest in the Nashville Christmas explosion. But I would observe the RV at the Warner residence appears to be smaller. It's the different color, and the windows on the side do not appear to be the same. In other words, these two vans cannot be the same van. One is yellow, the other is white. One is larger, the other smaller. They have a different configuration of the windows. So something very strange is going on there. This suggests, and the arrival of 250 FBI agents to seize the Dominion servers suggests this is a deep state op, and that the president is not only at war against, the corrupt forces, the globalists, the elitists, the Democrats, even members of his own staff, Mark Meadows, Pat Scipio, even Mitch McConnell, as I'm going to explain, but that the FBI appears to be engaged in active efforts to destroy the evidence that would prove his case for election fraud, for Freud convinced there's already enough of it available to establish that outcome if only the courts or Congress will look at the evidence. Meanwhile, Dan Scavino, the White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Communications and Director of Social Media, posted tweets on Saturday night that many took as an ominous sign of what's coming. But he also made a Facebook post stating, President Trump will not be conceding. That's very important because Mark Meadows, who's his chief of staff, and Pat Cipollone, who is a general counsel, were both at the White House on Friday night where there was an explosive exchange between the president and his counsel, chief of staff, Sidney Powell, Michael Flynn, where Overstock founder Patrick Byrne was there, where on Monday he gave a report of what happened. Listen to this guy's explanation of what transpired, and you'll understand the profundity of the traitors who are surrounding the president.
President Trump has been buried in lead. I was in the room when President Trump, so at one point, Pat Cipollone and one of his hissy fits yelled at the president, stood up and was yelling at the president. I almost decked this guy. He's a rude little son of a bitch. And Flynn stood up. I mean, Flynn is a real gentleman, as gentlemanly as it gets. And he even took to his feet at one point at three lawyers who were screaming. And I went and ended up standing shoulder to shoulder with Flynn and facing off with these guys. It was almost a fist fight. President Trump said later, there's probably not been a meeting like this in 200 years in the Oval Office. I can tell you that I saw President Trump, Cipollone, the general counsel, said something like, you don't even need me. You can just do this verbally. If you really want to appoint Sidney Powell special counsel, you can just say it. And after 15 more minutes of arguing, President Trump said, you know what? Cipollone said, you don't even need a pencil and paper if you want to do this. But if you do that, you know, this and that. And 20 minutes later, Trump said, you know what? I've made my decision. Sidney Powell, you were appointed White House special counsel. And somebody objected, well, she doesn't need it. She needs a clearance. And that's going to take X money, this and that. And President Trump said, you know what? I have the ability to give a clearance with my word. I hereby give you a TSSCI clearance. This is done. Wow. This decision is done. We're going. The next day, Sidney Powell, this was in front of Mark Meadows, was on the phone. This was in front of the legal staff, and it was in front of myself, Flynn, Sidney, and General Flynn, Sidney, and the other lawyer, whose name for her own security I don't want to use. And the next day, Sidney Powell called Mark Meadows and said, well, now that I'm White House special counsel, I'm going to need an office at the White House. And Mark Meadows said, Sidney, I don't know if we can really do that. And Sidney said, well, okay, I at least need a pass so I can come and go. And Meadows said, actually, I don't think we can really do that either. So they are directly are refusing to execute an order from the president. On Monday, Sidney Powell went to go over to the White House and was refused. Actually, I was with her Sunday night, and she was refused admittance. I mean, we got into the White House, but they refused. They will not inform him, even though he has directly said, I heard him say that they do not have to worry about access. Stephen and Michael do not have to worry about access. They have direct access. His people are refusing to execute his orders. That's how crazy it's gotten. They are refusing to execute his orders. And today, the same thing is going on. And since then, everyone we know has had a lead wall come down around him. His own staff, Mark Meadows, and Pat Cipollone have taken control of the Oval Office, and they are refusing to follow President Trump's orders. It's the craziest thing about. I fired this little weasel on the spot for the way he talked. If he had ever talked to me, it was all I could do not to slap the guy. He was so rude to the president.
Now, what we're getting a report there is of treason being committed by the chief of staff, Mark Meadows, and his general counsel, Pat Cipollone, for which they must be brought to account. Meanwhile, Sidney Powell confirms what we just heard. White House officials have blocked her from speaking to President Trump. Powell told the Washington Examiner her access to Trump has been cut off since Friday, when, according to the article, the president floated the idea of appointing her to serve as presidential counsel. We know, in fact, from Patrick Byrne that he actually appointed her special counsel to investigate the fraud, an idea shot down by some of his advisors. That's wrong. It was opposed by some of her advisors. It was not shot down. The president appointed her special counsel to investigate voter fraud. I haven't met or spoken with the president since Friday night, Powell told the Examiner. The president knows this election was stolen, but he's not getting the support he, the Constitution, and the Republic deserve. His own people are misleading and undermining him while protecting their own careers and agenda. Completely outrageous. Meanwhile, Trump declares the Supreme Court is incompetent and weak over its failure to deal with election fraud. We have absolute proof, but they don't want to see it. No standing, they say. If we have corrupt elections, we have no country. The U.S. Supreme Court has been totally incompetent and weak on the massive election fraud that took place in the 2020 presidential election, he tweeted on a Saturday morning. Meanwhile, we have a former defense official, Andrew Nags, who asserts Trump has the authority to appoint special counsel and seize machines. This is a very clear statement from a guy who knows what he's talking about that has impressed me a lot. So listen.
As concern over election integrity continues, some are raising the question as to why President Trump does not take federal action to aid in the investigation. One America's Christina Bob sat down with former Defense Department official Andrew Knags to discuss the president's options.
As the current president of the United States and potentially going into a second term, depending on what happens, why don't you think he's using more of his executive powers to either have, you know, FBI, DOJ, right. DHS, DOD do an investigation and actually use the executive authorities to further this investigation?
Well, I think the president right now has a number of options. And in my mind, sort of arrayed from least controversial to most controversial would be continued legal action. Mm-hmm. The second would be appointing a special counsel. Third would be seizing voting machines so that they could be forensically analyzed. The fourth, getting really controversial, would be invoking the Insurrection Act of 1807. And then finally, and this sort of falls without or outside of executive authority, but essentially rerunning the 2020 elections. Now, as far as the invocation of the Insurrection Act of 1807, that is a very high bar, and I'm not sure that there is an appetite for that within the White House right now.
Have other options, though, as you mentioned. For example, a special counsel. What would be the advantage of a special counsel, and why do you think he hasn't appointed one yet?
Well, I think I would call for President Trump to appoint one immediately. There does not need to be a Senate-confirmed attorney general in order for him to exercise this authority. In fact, all of the powers that exist within his cabinet, his attorney general, the president enjoys himself. So he could appoint one immediately, and I think...
But the president does have the authority to seize the machines, and if DHS doesn't want to do it or, you know, wants to step aside, there are other options.
He certainly does. Now, I mentioned the invocation of the Insurrection Act, but sort of embedded in there is martial law. We have to think about that. Now, as far as utilizing martial law and setting aside Posse Comitatus Act of 1878, what that requires, and again, this kind of goes to the Insurrection Act, this requires a situation where federalized troops or federal troops have to be utilized in a law enforcement manner in order to suppress an insurrection or rebellion or some other sort of civil disorder.
Right.
Now, certainly an overturned, a cheating, an election sure. where there's a widespread cheating, that I think there's an argument that can be made, a cogent argument that can be made.
Yeah. I think it's clear that he has the authority.
I think that he would need to use federal troops in order to do that. And again, that is a high bar, and that's something they would need to be working on right now.
Andrew, thank you so much for coming on. It's a pleasure and honor to speak with you.
I thought that guy was spot on, very clear. In fact, Trump was taking several of the measures he's talking about. He's, of course, continuing his legal efforts. There's reason to believe that the legislatures in several of the states have been very appropriately impressed by the evidence adduced by Jenna Ellis and Rudy Giuliani, and that they are determining to reallocate the electors who will represent their states in Washington on the 6th of January. In addition, of course, he actually did appoint Sidney Powell to be special counsel to investigate election fraud, but Mark Meadows, Pat Cipollone are opposing it, and they appear to have lowered the curtain on access to the president. Third, seizing Dominion machines. It appears that the strike in Nashville was to destroy Dominion machines, that the missile, and by the way, this is a late report, was actually directed at the second and third floor of the AT&T building, but perhaps because of the announcement coming from the RV, hit the RV instead, such that the FBI had to send in a massive force of 250 agents to seize the Dominion machines so they could not be subjected to a forensic audit by AT&T. That appears to be the bottom line. Then, of course, he went further to talk about the Insurrection Act and finally about conducting a new election, at least in those various states. I'm puzzled about aspects of that because what happened in Florida when Al Gore contested, he only requested a select number of precincts to be recounted. And the Supreme Court rejected that, where if he had asked for all of the counties to be recounted, they would have accepted. That suggests to me, if there's to be a redo of the election, it would have to be with all 50 states, and not merely those that are disputed. Meanwhile, Mike Adams has given a situation update that seems to me highly appropriate. Americans prepare for January war. Here are the highlights from his situation report. We are all going to get through this together, no matter how bad it gets. Brandon Tietem has revealed people are willing to take up arms to protect the Republic and defeat tyranny. Vice President Pence, a traitor, is planning on accepting the Joe Biden electors on January 6th and fleeing the country to Israel on January 7th as the Civil War begins. Rudy Giuliani has revealed, you're going to find it out all at once. It's going to be very shocking to the country. The American people should use this holiday time to shore up preparedness plans against the events that are likely to occur in January. Blue cities, which are the terror hubs of America, may find themselves under siege. Expect outages and disruptions affecting power, food, water, communications, and transportation. Patriots may begin to stage citizen arrests of corrupt criminal traitors in the government, which may include governors, mayors, election officials, and similar criminals, I would add, including the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court and Associate Justice Breyer, and as I'm going to explain, even the Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. If patriots begin to go kinetic in their actions, expect the left-wing media to man Trump, invoke the Insurrection Act, which the president could use to go after deep state traitors while patriots would back off. If Trump wins on January 6th, which does not seem likely at the moment, but cannot be ruled out, the radical left will launch a kinetic attack on America, and Trump will need to invoke the Insurrection Act anyway. We know several additional developments that are taking place, including the suggestion that a new legal memorandum be submitted to the Supreme Court on behalf of the United States of America, making the same arguments. But because the United States of America is submitting that SCOTUS, the Supreme Court would be forced to hear it. I want to emphasize what we're hearing here.
We're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet.
I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. What? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We gotta stop them! They're gonna kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings!
I'm... When the operation of the machine becomes so odious, makes you so sick at heart, that you can't take part, you can't even passively take part, and you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop, and you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Right, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio! All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Well, let me just add that the proof that Dominion machines were the key to the election theft has been demonstrated many different ways, including by a brilliant new critique reported by Edward Hendry. You can find on my blog, to wit, forensic analysis of Dominion voting system discovers it was designed to commit election fraud, no doubt about it. The forensic report prepared by Allied Security Operations Group about the Dominion voting machines used in Michigan State We conclude that the Dominion voting system is intentionally and purposefully designed with inherent errors to create systemic fraud and influence election results. The system intentionally generates an enormously high number of ballot errors. The electronic ballots are then transferred for adjudication. The intentional errors lead to bulk adjudication with no oversight, no transparency, and no audit trail. This leads to voter or election fraud. Based on our study, we conclude the Dominion voting system should not be used in Michigan. We further conclude the results in Antrim County should not have been certified. One notable finding of the forensic audit was that the Dominion voting system contains an algorithm that allows for weighted voting called ranked choice voting. A candidate favored by the programmer, say such as Biden, could receive more than one vote per vote, meaning 1.3 weighted in favor of Biden, while a disfavored candidate, such as Trump, could receive less than one vote, such as 0.7 votes per vote. Thus, the total number of votes would remain constant, but the favorite candidate would receive an unjustified weighted advantage and the disfavored an unjustified weighted disadvantage. The high error rate in the election software, 68.05%, reflects an algorithm used that'll weight one candidate greater than another. In the logs, and what's fascinating about this is that the Federal Election Commission specifies an error rate of 0.0008, so that this is like 25,000 times greater an error rate than is acceptable. In the logs, we identified that the ranked choice voting algorithm was enabled from the beginning, allowing the user to apply the weighted numerical value and change the overall result. It's very clear what was happening here. Indeed, efforts have been made to erase a computer code, the vote adjudication logs, and server security logs after the election. This is the type of conduct indicative of guilt, very much like a murderer disposing of his gun and written instructions after the murder to make it harder for the police to prove his guilt. The forensic analysis found a cover-up of voter fraud was committed here. Significantly, the computer system shows vote adjudication logs for prior years, but all adjudication log entries for the 2020 election cycle are missing. The adjudication process is the simplest way to manually manipulate votes. The lack of records prevents any form of audit accountability, and their conspicuous absence is extremely suspicious since the files exist for previous years using the same software. Removal of these files violates state law and prevents a meaningful audit, even if the Secretary of State wanted to conduct one. We must conclude that the 2020 election cycle records have been manually removed. There is no reasonable explanation for the security logs to be missing other than to conceal the theft of the election. The election event designer log shows that Dominion ImageCast precinct cards were programmed with new ballot programming on October 23rd and then again after the election on November 5th. These system changes affect how ballots are read and tabulated. And our examination demonstrated a significant change in voter results using the two different programs. In accordance with the Help America Vote Act, this violates the 90-day safe harbor period, which prohibits changes to election systems, registries, hardware, software updates without undergoing recertification. According to the National Conference of State Legislatures, Michigan requires full compliance with federal standards as determined by federally accredited voting system laboratory. The only reason to change the software after the election would be to obfuscate evidence of fraud and or to correct program errors that would decertify the election. The report concluded, research is ongoing. However, based on the preliminary results, we conclude that the errors are so significant that they call into question the integrity and legitimacy of the results in the Antrim County 2020 election to the point that the results are not certifiable because the same machines and software are used in 48 other counties in Michigan. This casts doubt on the integrity of the entire election in the state of Michigan. Very appropriate finding. So a number of members of the Congress are seeking to raise issues about the election on January 6th, but they're being met with a considerable amount of resistance, some of which comes from highly surprising sources. Thus, for example, Mel Brooks, a Republican from Alabama, is baffled by the Senate hesitancy to challenge the 2020 outcomes. With less than 2 weeks to go until Congress certifies the Electoral College results that will make Biden the next president, Mo Brooks says he's baffled by the reluctance of members of the Senate to participate in his challenge of the results. Here are part of what he said during a radio interview in Mobile, Alabama. I was relatively confident this would be the way things would progress. When you're looking at a crystal ball and trying to guess how things are going to play out, there's always some degree of uncertainty, but the law is clear. Congress has the ultimate decision on any kind of election dispute involving the President of the United States. That the Socialist Democrats successfully exploited and took advantage of and engaged in massive voter fraud and election theft is obvious. I don't know what we can do with the senators. I'm baffled. I'm disappointed that at least as of this moment, not at least one has stood strong for our country and said, I'm going to take the lead. I'm going to co-sponsor this object so we can have this floor debate auditing the problems associated with our election system so that the American people can get it firsthand and better understand what needs correcting, or else we're going to go through this again and again and again. And ultimately, in my judgment and in my fear, we're going to reach a point akin to the kinds of elections they have in North Korea, Iran, Communist China, the Soviet Union, Venezuela, where the people can vote, but there's no way the election results reported are going to reflect the truthfulness of the votes that were cast. Meanwhile, Investment Watch blog has reported, oops, over 4 million votes were cast by the same person in Pennsylvania. This is a Twitter to the Honorable POTUS, the real Donald Trump. I have some absolutely stunning news to report regarding Pennsylvania. I examined just over 9,008,753 records and have identified 521,879 unique last names. 245,033, or just under 47% of the total list of last names in Pennsylvania, belong to one and only one person, which, of course, implies that over 4 million votes were cast by the same person in Pennsylvania. How's that for a whopper? Meanwhile, more GOP lawmakers are backing the Electoral College challenge. Another member of Congress has pledged to challenge the electoral vote. Representative Lance Gooden of Texas wrote in a letter to Senators Ted Cruz and John Cornyn, I intend to object to the certification of the Electoral College vote submissions on January 6th and I respectfully ask you to stand with me. Neither Cornyn nor Cruz have publicly stated whether they would challenge the vote, where the process requires at least one House representative and one senator to induce the two-hour debate about the integrity of the election prior to voting on accepting or rejecting various slates of electors. Meanwhile, a representative-elect, Lauren Boebert from Colorado, made an official announcement on Thursday that on behalf of her constituents, she will object to the Electoral College results in the January 6th joint session. This is a contested election, and I believe that President Trump should fight with everything he has and use all the authority he has as the President of the United States to make sure that we have a free and fair election. We need to be looking into these allegations. We need to be taking them seriously. The mother of four said the president must take these actions for the over 70 million citizens who voted for him in this election, because so many have come forward with sworn affidavits and the testimony of voter fraud. Representative Bo Brooks is leading the effort to challenge the Electoral College vote, where over a dozen other Republican House members have said they will join him. Meanwhile, Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, one of my two representatives, who, in my opinion, is doing an excellent job, retweeted from Josh Hawley, Senator of Missouri, who observed, after 4 years of being told the last election was fake, the same people are telling us if you have any concerns about election integrity, you're a nutcase. Sit down and shut up. Isn't that a masterful reflection of what's going on here? For 4 years, we were told there was Russian interference, that Trump was not a legitimate president. Hillary Clinton has told Joe Biden to never concede, but it's very obvious that election was rigged for Hillary, and the Democrats have endlessly asserted that it was a rigged election. And yet, when there's even more massive evidence and proof that this election was rigged, in favor of the Democrats, but where they did it even with greater enthusiasm and energy using Dominion voting machines, where they had to pause at 3 a.m. in various of the states to adjust the vote because Trump, the outpouring for Trump was even greater than they had anticipated. They're now insisting that anyone who challenges the vote is some kind of lunatic. Meanwhile, and I find this completely outrageous, Mitch McConnell is going to reach out to Senator-elect Tommy Tuberville and discourage him to protest the election. I have heretofore assumed that Mitch McConnell was a good guy. I can no longer hold that opinion. Several states were stolen from President Trump in his landslide 2020 election. Democrats and the media claim it was perfectly normal to lock out GOP observers while manufacturing tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, actually millions of votes to overcome a massive Trump landslide. Trump supporters disagree, but Mitch McConnell does not stand for President Trump, and he does not stand with Trump voters. Mitch stands with the globalists and the Democrats, and he's reportedly reaching out to Tommy Tuberville to warn him about creating a messy situation next week. From the Hill, Senate Republicans say Majority Leader Mitch McConnell will reach out to Senator-elect Tommy Tuberville in an attempt to avoid a messy floor fight next month over finalizing the results of the Electoral College vote. Absolutely disgusting. Mitch McConnell now takes his place on the roll of traitors, along with Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts, who, during a conversation with Associate Justice Stephen Breyer, said, "I won't let that mother effer get reelected." Chief Justice John Roberts, who thereby disqualified himself not only from sitting on any cases involving the election, but from being a member of the Supreme Court at all. He must be removed. Meanwhile, Vice President Pence is expected to leave Washington for a week-long multi-stop trip after overseeing a session of Congress to affirm Biden's election win on January 6, 2020. He is departing for Israel. And I must admit, I am now convinced that Pence himself is more of a Zionist than a Christian and is betraying President Trump. Here's a story about it. Trump supporters and loyalists are banking on GOP senators joining Representative Bo Brooks in challenging the vote in several states as part of an effort to overturn the result. If others join, it would force a debate and votes in the House and Senate. So far, no GOP senator has backed the effort, and GOP leaders in the Senate have actively sought to dissuade members from doing so. Even if a GOP senator did join the effort, supporters of the strategy do not have support to win the votes in either chamber. Senator John Thune of South Dakota, the number two Senate Republican, warned Monday that efforts to challenge the Electoral College vote in Congress next month would fall short in the Senate. I mean, in the Senate, it would go down like a shot dog, he told reporters. I just don't think it makes a lot of sense to put everybody through this when you know what the ultimate outcome is going to be. Notice, this is begging the question. This is taking for granted the attitude of the senators after they had participated in a two-hour-long debate that would include the proof of evidence of massive theft of the election. So this is equally outrageous. And I damn John Thune, just as I damn Mitch McConnell, just as I damn John Roberts. These are traitors to the United States. These are commissions of treason for which the penalty prescribed by law is death. The vote itself places Pence in an awkward spot, given President Trump's refusal to concede the race. Pence's job is largely ceremonial, but his constitutional duty is to confirm the winner of the election. Quoting three U.S. officials, Politico reported Pence is planning to leave Washington that day, even on the 6th, for a week-long trip after presiding over the congressional session to affirm Biden's win in the Electoral College. Under federal law, the Senate president, a role held by the vice president, presents the electoral votes and announces the winner. In my opinion, this is going to condemn Mike Pence to the list of traitors of the United States. Meanwhile, the president is encouraging his followers to come to Washington on January 6th, and I predict well in excess of 100,000 armed Americans are going to come to Washington, D.C., outside of the Capitol. Meanwhile, Rudy Giuliani, starting after Christmas, this is really going to blow up. And I don't believe he was talking about the Nashville bombing. We've been telling you for weeks, let's put 2 + 2 together. The White House has instructed Trump staff to stop packing. The Pentagon has stopped giving Joe Biden intelligence briefings. More Republican representatives are on the record claiming they will contest the electoral votes. Dan Scavino has been posting increasingly cryptic messages on Twitter, including, and Kamala Harris still hasn't left her Senate seat. Now Rudy Giuliani has given an explanation on the voter fraud. you're going to find out all at once. It's going to be very shocking to the country. There is hope. We must continue to fight and pray for Trump in our country. President Trump crushed Joe Biden in the 2020 election, where the sources available to me suggest that Donald Trump won on the order of 74 million votes, that Joe Biden won less than 24. That's a difference of over 50 million votes. No wonder he was declaring that he didn't need public support in order to win the election. He only needed the country's support after the election because he knew that it was rigged. Meanwhile, James Perlis has a book, COVID-19 and the Agenda to Come, Red Pill. As many readers know, he diverted writing a major book on 9/11 to compose a long blog on COVID-19. While 9/11 remains a watershed event that brought then unprecedented intrusions on civil liberties and led to wars in the Middle East that cost millions of lives and trillions of dollars, the international response to the COVID-19 has superseded 9/11 in its urgency. This was a systemic event threatening to bring down the world's economy and fast-track a global Orwellian police state in which we in alternative media, have long warned about, complete with digital ID, cashless society, universal vaccinations, and a surveillance state with strict limits on individuals' ability to travel, work, and buy or sell. It is a cataclysmic shift of biblical proportions. For weeks as the COVID situation developed, I continued to update my blog post with amendments in italics and dates, which became unwieldy. And now I have a book, over 200 pages. In an era of draconian internet censorship, the book also presents an opportunity to preserve in hard copy information increasingly at risk for being digitally flushed down what George Orwell called memory holes in his futuristic book, 1984. I wanted to create a volume that would give readers access to data that has been systematically deleted from the internet and YouTube and made impossible to find on major search engines, making the phrase "do your own research" less and less achievable. I have striven to make the book something one can share with blue-pilled friends and family members. With nearly 300 endnotes, everything is sourced, quoting numerous scholars from around the world, virologists, epidemiologists, immunologists, pathologists, microbiologists, infectious disease specialists, including Nobel Prize winners, as well as frontline ER physicians and family practice MDs. Although necessarily, I often refer to alternative media, I also frequently draw on mainstream sources, including the CDC, where I would add the CDC has recently acknowledged that a positive test for COVID may only mean that you have had a cold in the past, and that 90% plus, actually closer to 98%, are yielding false positives. As we approach the break, I encourage any of you to call in the number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. I'll be here to take your calls. Mitchell will be fielding them. He may have to call back, but he's very good at handling calls. I repeat, the number 540-352-4452. I'll be here awaiting your call. Meanwhile, after the break, I'll continue to discuss James Perloff's book, where, to simplify reading, he has divided the book into five sections with 27 chapters, enough to cover each topic relevant to COVID-19. while also keeping chapters short enough that reading in parts is not discouraged. Here he has the table of contents, which I will review when we return. But there are other signs of fakery. A very large number of individuals who have taken the vaccine have Bell's palsy, which freezes half of their face with paralysis. They're coming out and making statements, some of them in tears, including registered nurses who took the vaccine in good faith and now not warning the public, don't take it under any circumstance. And remember, Big Pharma has immunity from liability. They cannot even be sued, even if they kill you. It looks as though that's the idea here, to wipe out two-thirds of the U.S. population. I'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message. Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
What we're discussing today is so serious and significant for the future of the nation that I'm very eager to get other opinions, and I welcome Mitchell to the conversation. Please join, my friend.
Hey, good morning, Jim. Good morning, everybody. I should say in the central time zone. Good afternoon, everybody here in the East Coast. Well, Jim, I would say that the rule of law has been dead for a number of years. And, you know, these revelations with Patrick Burns, you know, that the FBI was blackmailing, going to set up Hillary Clinton for a bribe of $18 million and so they could blackmail her whenever they needed it. You know, there's a lot of things that have been overlooked in the midst of all of everything that we've seen. And, you know, the lack of real justice is a problem,
Yeah, we don't even have the pretense. I mean, they're not even willing to look at the evidence. I think the Supreme Court has disgraced itself. This is a permanent black mark, in my opinion, Mitchell, that the Supreme Court may never able to overcome by the Chief Justice denying the Texas lawsuit when they clearly had standing, where arguments between the states have original jurisdiction before the court, meaning the court can take them at the first submission. They don't have to go through the lower courts, the district or circuit courts, the appellate courts, and the state courts of the respective states, because they involve conflicts between the states. We have the proposal to resubmit in the name of the United States, but it appears to me that this guy, Mark Meadows and Pat Cipollone, are locking down the Oval Office and not allowing anyone to gain access to the president, which is beyond disgraceful, an outright act of treason.
Well, you know, I would say we have to remember that, you know, everything is done by a political machine. And I don't, you know, I guess they're representing the Republican Party in these matters. You know, I have no trust for professional politicians and the professional political class, because they sell out so quick that it's not even funny. So, you know, while I remain hopeful, I'm keeping my powder dry. I guess that's what I should say and kind of leave it at that. But, yeah, we are in a serious problem here in the United States with the rule of law. The only thing we have as a nation that really sets us apart from so much of the rest of the world is an honest justice system. And now our justice system is basically, well, the Soviet model. Show me the man, I'll show you the crime. And that will destroy the United States.
Mitchell, the fact that the Chief Justice could take such a grotesque and partisan stance is outrageous to me. I mean, listen, if we were to fashion a firing squad after giving the guilty bastard a fair trial, and what everyone needs to understand is trials are a formality. They're really a form of confirmation or verification that an individual committed an offense of which they are guilty. Where it appears the Chief Justice, by the tweet from L. Lynn Wood is indeed guilty of making this assertion, in the absence of which an attorney of the quality of L. Lynn Wood would never publish such a tweet, means that once it is verified, that is what entitles the state to deprive an individual of life, liberty, or property. I would participate in the firing squad gladly with the Chief Justice up against the wall under these conditions. I feel that seriously about it, that his treason to the United States is enormous, and that he could have provided us with a peaceful mechanism to handle this problem without the necessity of going through what appears to me to be increasingly inevitable civil war, where I quote John F. Kennedy, who observed, "Those who make peaceful reform impossible make violent revolution inevitable." Absolutely. Yeah, and it's a Declaration of Independence affirms, as you well know, Mitchell, we have the right to take up arms to oppose tyranny and end it, to reform our government. And I believe on January 6th, if this does not play out in a proper fashion, if the election is not revised so that the outcome reflects the will of the people in terms of the ballots they actually cast, if Donald Trump is not certified for re-election, I have no doubt that we are going to confront a second American revolution. It's not going to be pretty. There will be blood in the streets. A lot of people will die. But the choice we have is to take up arms to defend ourselves for the sake of the nation and our freedom and liberty, or to cower, to become acquiescent in the face of lies, deceit, and deception, and allow ourselves to be put into chains. Because have no doubt what James Perloff is describing is a future for Americans of a life of slavery, where they want to take all of our property, all of our assets, so they can own the planet Earth. They will pay off our mortgages, our student loans, our credit cards, but will be on a digital income. We'll have an allocated 300 square feet space we rent, we do not own, and where they can cut us off from our financial supply anytime we don't adhere to their behavioral expectations, which include, by the way, an ongoing sequence of vaccination. It won't just be one, it'll be another, and then another, and then another, and then another. And if we resist, we'll be put into FEMA camps as enemies of public health, threats to public health. And if we continue to oppose, our heads will be separated from our bodies. How many years ago did we reveal there are all these boxcars for transporting large number of, it turns out, American citizens of FEMA camps that are equipped with Chinese-made guillotines? And one of the advantages of the guillotine as a method of execution is it leaves the body organs available to harvest. This, I tell you, is what is coming. And personally, I stand with those who say, give me liberty or give me death, that I regret I have but one life to give for my country, because there's no point in not living free. My take, Mitchell.
Oh, heavens. Could we send John Roberts downrange about 1,000 meters out?
Yes. Yes.
We're not gonna hit him with an 81's mortar shell. We promise we'll just shoot some smoke to mark his spot, so the planes can drop 500 pounders on him. But
he has now entered the realm of the most treacherous figures in all of American history, Mitchell. All of American history. John Roberts has now been added to the list.
Remember Benedict Arnold was a colonel? Was he a colonel? I forget what he was in the service, but
yes.
You know, he was a military man on the American side. So, but we have had a lot of Benedict Arnolds to the road to where we have gotten here, you know, where we're at today with the lack of lawlessness, you know, for the four years, you know, Trump has been under a counter political intelligence operation, you know, to get rid of him, to stop him. And, you know, we've seen the NSA, we've seen the CIA, we've seen the FBI, we've seen the DOJ all participate in illegal actions against the president. And, you know, no justice at all. John Durham, I don't want to hold my breath. William Barr, H.W. Bush's crack or cocaine attorney general, I should say. You know, I have no faith in any of those people doing a damn thing. So where does that leave the people if there is no justice? And people don't quite, because the media was cheerleading the attacks on Trump. Nobody really within many people perceive them as, you know, these illegitimate attacks on the presidency. So now, you know, if things are looking like they're coming, Ukraine has indicted Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, and the Biden Family Crime Syndicate for stealing almost, what, $5 million. Those charges were announced, I think, this morning. In Ukraine.
Yes. I was trying to watch the video of the report coming from Ukraine when I went on the air earlier this morning. So that's very, very good, Mitchell. And is the mainstream media even going to report this event, this development of humongous significance that the purported next president of the United States is been subjected to a massive indictment in Ukraine, where he and his crime family have been involved in, you know, some of the most corrupt activities ever displayed by
the specific activities they accused Trump of, you know, in the impeachment. That's the problem. You know, what the Biden family did is exactly what they accused Trump of. And, you know, if they don't, you know, Joe Biden is going to prison or he's going to be dead. I don't know which. Hunter Biden's, you know, he's the only chance Hunter Biden has if he's pardoned by his father. You know, the deep state and the swamp is the tide is coming back in. And, you know, we have to pour Clorox into the system and bleach it. Clean it, get the trash out. So,
yeah, I couldn't agree more, Mitchell. And, you know, I'm very worried about the governors of various states who seem to me also to be on the list for those who deserve indictment and prosecution and punishment. I mean, Andrew Cuomo of New York City and Gavin Newsom of California and Gretchen Whitmer of Michigan are joined by your own governor in Virginia, yeah. Who is, I can't imagine how this guy ever ascended to the governor's office, Mitchell. I mean, how did he ever make it? It's just unbelievable.
Jim, you were a Marine Corps officer, okay? You understand the power of kiss ass.
The power of kiss ass?
They're all kiss asses. All these politicians that get elected and are getting into the system, they all kiss ass. Okay. Yes, sir. How deep, sir? What color, sir? You know, when they ask them to take a dump. Okay. So, yeah, they all kiss asses. That's all it is. And they're all kissing ass to get along. And the system just gravitates, you know, the more you kiss ass, the higher you go up the pyramid, and pretty soon everybody's kissing your ass because you're up the pyramid. Go ahead. Paul's here, by the way.
Well, I'm just floored by your governor, who's even advocated infanticide. I mean, give me a break. Paul, welcome. I'm always glad to hear from you, my friend. Go ahead.
Well, all this talk about ass kissing really got me going here. I had to call. you know, just for the fun of it, I want to do a little house cleaning, which I kind of want to do from time to time. So, Jim, I'm sure that occasionally you may read the comments, maybe not, about your show. There's a few retards out there that have made, the assertion or allegation that you are military intelligence. So once and for all, would you clear the air for all your listeners? And put your hand on the Bible.
Absurd. Yeah. I was commissioned as a second lieutenant of the Marine Corps, a regular officer, not a reserve, for 4 years of active duty after I had received the benefit of the NDEA Title IV Act, which allowed the military to provide 4 years of college, tuition, books, and spending money if I agreed to serve 4 years as an active officer in either the Marine Corps or the Navy, believing if I were to be in the military, I wanted to be in a real military organization. I chose the Marine Corps. I served 4 years. The first year, I underwent infantry officer training and then was sent to Fort Sill in Lawton, Oklahoma, for artillery and U.S. Army Artillery and Missile School for training as an artillery officer. Then I was sent to the 3rd Marine Division, where my unit was base camped in Okinawa. When I arrived there, this would be like June of 1963, my unit was in Japan. So I was transferred there, where we were at the foot of Mount Fuji. And my first assignment was to take the fire direction crew out to set up for a live mortar exercise at the base of the sacred mountain, where we could see pilgrims trekking up to pay the respects. And I turned to the executive officer and said, "Who calls us ugly Americans?" When I returned to the United States, and by the way, I was anchored out in Kaohsiung Harbor when JFK was shot, where the executive officer awakened me at 3:30 in the morning to tell me the president had been shot, and then an hour later awakened me again to tell me a communist had done it, which even seemed at the time to be pretty fast work. Now, of course, I know the more of the story. When I returned to the United States in June of 64, I was assigned to the recruit depot in San Diego as a series commander, where I had 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command going through the training cycle. And the following year, I was moved up to regimental headquarters to revise a training program so that instead of producing 8,000 Marines in 11 weeks, we could produce 11,000 Marines in 8 weeks. I was there to see it operate at maximum capacity using the same facilities as before. I resigned my commission as a captain to enter graduate school in the history and philosophy of science at Indiana University and would earn my PhD in 1970 and begin an academic career that would span 35 years. Now, if one were to classify me as an intelligence officer, a military intelligence, as opposed to an intelligent former Marine Corps officer, they'd be making an allegation that is so absurd when you look at the evidence. Only someone who is incredibly gullible could believe it, because after all, during the course of my career, not only do I publish extensively on the theoretical character of scientific knowledge, the foundations of computer science, artificial intelligence, cognitive science, evolution, and mentality. But even as a professor, a full professor with tenure on the Duluth campus of the University of Minnesota, I became deeply involved in research on the assassination of JFK, where my collaboration with the best students of the assassination began in late 1992, where we were motivated in part by the release of Oliver Stone's magisterial film JFK, which is flawed in several respects for reasons that I've subsequently explained, including that he believed the Zapruder film was authentic and that Lee Oswald had been among the shooters, where he was misguided by his then key advisor, Robert Grodin, well known in the JFK community, but who turns out to have been playing a role of double dealing by endorsing false information and misleading Oliver Stone. Plus, he posited only 3 hit teams. We've actually discovered now the latest result. There were actually 8 different shooters in Dealey Plaza, where we've identified 6 by name, rank, and serial number. I have. Only Domegard has identified a 7th, and we now have an 8th, yet whose identity is yet to be determined. But where I can go through this in great detail, where I organized 2 conferences on JFK while I was a faculty member with support from the University of Minnesota, one in Minneapolis in 1999 on the death of JFK, where I would my first book on the assassination would be published in 1998, a year earlier, where I brought together the leading experts on the assassination with medical qualifications and backgrounds that far exceeded my own in those areas, where one of my great strengths is that I know what I do not know. So I brought in a world authority on the human brain who is also an expert on wound ballistics, a PhD in physics, who is also an MD and board certified in radiation oncology, making him an expert on the interpretation of x-rays, a physician who had been in trauma room number 1 when JFK's moribund body was brought in, and then 2 days later was responsible for the care and treatment of his alleged assassin, Lee Oswald. Another PhD in physics, this time with a background in electromagnetism, the properties of light and images of moving objects, who did brilliant work exposing internal features of the Zapruder film that provided conclusive evidence that it had been massively edited and revised, where we know today that the original film had around 1,000 frames, whereas the extant version only has 487 and more. Where then in the very first book I published in the area of conspiracy research, Assassination Science, demonstrated by bringing together experts on different aspects of the case, as I have done over and over again, not only regarding JFK, but 9/11, Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, and more, that the autopsy x-rays had been altered by concealing the fist-sized blowout to the back of the head, that there was internal evidence of a 2nd shot to the head, that the brain shown in diagrams and photographs in the National Archives is not even the brain of JFK, which I could have concluded, but how much better to come from a world authority on the human brain, and a mass of other evidence that exposed that it was the U.S. government, including medical officers of the U.S. Navy and the Secret Service who set up JFK for the hit, where when Nigel Turner, who produced a series of Men Who Killed Kennedy, did his 7th installment on the smoking guns, he interviewed my colleagues and me, where I laid out 15 indications of Secret Service complicity in setting it up. Now, why would anyone who is operating for military intelligence expose the complicity of the U.S. government in the assassination of the 35th president of the United States, which was sponsored by the CIA, where Jack had threatened to shatter it into 1,000 pieces, by the U.S. military, where Jack had not invaded Cuba, contrary to the unanimous recommendation, had gone ahead and signed an above-ground nuclear test ban treaty with the Soviet Union against their unanimous opposition, and now was going to pull our forces out of Vietnam by the end of 1964, where the chiefs felt that a stand had to be taken against the expansion of international godless communism, where the Texas oilmen were upset because he was going to cut the oil depletion allowance, the mafia because he'd been bringing about more indictments and convictions of organized crime than ever before in history, the anti-Castro Cubans, who are upset because they believe falsely that JFK had betrayed them at the Bay of the Pigs, which the CIA allowed them to continue to believe since it was politically advantageous to them. The Eastern establishment surrounding the Fed, for example, and even Israel, where Jack had been at loggerheads with David Ben-Gurion, who was a founder and first prime minister of Israel, over his desire that Israel should develop nuclear weapons, which Jack opposed. When Ben-Gurion resigned in frustration, he appears to have assigned the Mossad to participate in the assassination, where it appears each of these different groups had their own shooter. We have a Dallas deputy sheriff. We have an Air Force expert. We have a Dallas police officer. We have an Israeli shooter. We have an anti-Castro Cuban. We have Lyndon Johnson's personal hitman, because LBJ was behind this. I also, of course, founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth in December of 2005 and brought together experts all over the world, where I organized multiple conferences around the world. I've been flown around the world to expose what happened on 9/11. I mean, none of this is consistent with the identity of a person who is working for military intelligence. If I were an intelligence operative, I would have to have been the most unsuccessful and counterproductive in American history. We'll be right back.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch The Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's The Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
I will defend myself against their tyranny. Number three is my radio broadcast. I'm squarely in front of the public all the time, and they all know what's going on.
Well, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence.
Hello, my name is John Wayne. And I do a broadcast here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
Freedom and fear are at war.
And folks, I assure you, we are in defense condition one, as we journey perilously through this paradigm that we currently reside in. And I ask that you join me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, for The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1.
We shall never surrender.
Thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
So, Paul, you're basically right. I only intermittently take a look at comments on the shows where they're archived, but you're suggesting perhaps I ought to more frequently. I presume that's the answer to your question, because such an allegation, for anyone who knows me and my history, would find it completely effing absurd. Completely effing absurd.
If I may, just for the fun of it, react to, that's the funniest line I think I've heard you talk in a long time. I presume that's the answer to your question. There's a number of lines.
I'm glad you raise it, because it's just ridiculous. I mean, you know, look what I'm doing, it exposing the crimes committed by the deep state.
Jim, I know. I was just having fun playing around. A number of lines appeal to me as far as their humor potential, but I guess the one I'm going to use right now is, "All right, I'm sorry I ask."
No. I'm glad you asked. You know, periodically it seems they make these kinds of ridiculous allegations, and I need to point out the obvious. You know, that if I were military intelligence, I'd be the most counterproductive in American history, because I've been exposing corrupt acts by the deep state and the military since I began serious research into conspiracy.
I know. That's why I said retards.
Yeah.
I read the comment section mainly because I want to see if anybody says anything about me, which they do.
Yes.
But, I've seen multiple times different commenters, you know, they make the obvious one about, oh, you don't get it. You're a shill for Trump, or you're a shill for the deep state. But I've seen the military intelligence a couple of times. So I thought it would address it, because it's so retarded on its face.
I agree. And it's really odd. I regard myself as a JFK FDR liberal. I believe in the welfare, the social safety network of Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, unemployment insurance, workman's compensation. I voted Democrat. I even voted for Bill Clinton twice and Barack Obama twice. But when it came to Hillary versus Trump, it was no contest. He is a monster. And Trump has done so much good for the United States in his efforts to drain the swamp. I'm on board. Not without reservations, because his largesse toward Israel, as you've heard me comment many times, I think has been excessive. But on the other hand, he's doing so much good. He has refused to bomb Iran. He's the only president of recent times who hasn't engaged us in a new war, at the very least, since Jimmy Carter. So, you know, and he's done so much for the economy. He seems to be the one guy who can rebuild America and do it in relatively short order. There are no alternatives. You got Biden advocating for another lockdown. He wants a national face mandate. He would get mandatory vaccinations if he could. And yet we're finding out the consequences, the effects of these vaccines are horrific and even include death.
Okay, so just key word there, could. Remember, that's the word you just used. He seems the one man who could do something. So I'm going to just leave that as it is. I think we all know what I mean when I say could. So we'll find out. There's a lot of interesting things going on. I got to admit, I don't have all the answers. I read, I listen, I watch. You know, I spend a lot of time. I probably spend as much or more time than you or most people looking at the work and listening to different producers of content online.
I don't know. You know, I'm spending 6 or 8 hours every single effing day on this stuff, my friend. So, Paul, I'd be surprised. I'm interested in your assessment of what happened in Nashville, of what's going to happen on January the 6th, of the fact that Mark Meadows and Pat Cipollone are locking down Trump in the Oval Office. I want to hear your thoughts about all of the above.
Yeah, well, again, you know, what I was trying to do there by making the point, and I was not comparing. I mean, a man like you is, like I said, you're one in, probably 10, 20, 30, 50 million, I would imagine. And you spend a lot of time producing content. That's for sure. And, you know, hats off to you. As far as, you know, what we're looking at here, I mean, who the hell knows? I mean, I think other callers could agree, and Mitch could agree, that's probably the best assessment. You know, I think there's multiple layers to what's going on. I've watched, there's a British guy, he's got a British accent anyway, I don't know where he's actually living right now, but he made a very interesting video that I thought about sending out. Although sometimes I wonder, you know, if people actually look at or listen to the stuff I send, because I like to think it's good stuff. But he makes some very interesting observations about all of this, and it just makes you wonder if what we're really looking at is, you remember that old 70s show, I'm sure you do, Mission Impossible?
Sure.
You know, okay, well, so that was one of the more well-done shows in terms of just overall, you know, the writing and the plot and the twists and the turns and, you know, just the you never knew in many cases what the heck was going to happen or how they were going to pull it off. And you are in many cases almost always either surprised or pleased or shocked at the end. And I think that's kind of the thing that these people are doing on a regular basis. And you've heard me on this show mention, I just wonder, you know, how much, if any, Trump is privy to or part of. I don't believe he's part of the club that's against him, obviously. I believe he was part of some club when he was, you know, sort of pushed onto the stage, if you will. I don't think it was all his own doing or his own ambition. I think that he's been susceptible to guidance and advice and encouragement, just like any human being. So, you know, we're going to find out how real all this is. But I've said many, many times, you want my assessment, it's pretty straightforward. You don't have opposition if they're in jail or they're dead. And that's what Trump has to do if he cares about our country. If he just cares about being president and cares about his own ego, well, then he probably will not do certain things. But if he really cares about our country, and he really sees what we're looking at, then, you know, he's a grown man. He knows what has to be done, right? Would you hesitate to put out a business and to arrest all the heads of these networks right now? I mean, I wouldn't hesitate one second. They would all be shut down, in my opinion. Okay? Would you hesitate to take over militarily? At least just temporary, to get a handle on this thing. I wouldn't hesitate for a second. And I'm sure there's plenty of people in the military that are raring to go and ready to do what he says. So if none of that occurs and he just limps away after Mike Pence does his dastardly deed and Trump just kind of, you know, well, I don't concede, but I'm going to move out of the White House. Well, then we know that he's not strong enough to do what needs to be done.
Well, obviously, I don't think that's going to happen. He's not going to whimper away. And Mike Pence may do his best to betray the nation. But listen, my interpretation of Rudy Giuliani saying we're going to learn all at once, that suggests to me he's talking about the debates in the House and the Senate on the 6th of January. I can't imagine another context, because even when the president goes on television and gives a masterful talk about the theft of the election, the mainstream does not play it. I think this matter of the debate in the House and the Senate would have to be covered. I think they would, you know, lose so much credibility when the American people, okay, as a totality, including the Democrats, realize everything is on the line.
Okay,
if they fail to, and by the way, I believe there are going to be at least a half a dozen members of the Senate who are going to call for, you know, a review of the election and dispute it, at least a half a dozen. They're not speaking up now because they don't want to be subjected to all the vituperation and denigration and attacks from the mainstream.
Yes.
So they're simply keeping their mouths shut. But I have no doubt they will do that. They will speak up.
Yep. Okay, but in the end, so what? All right, here's the thing. There's no political way out of this, in my opinion, and I know I'm not alone, okay? The system is so far beyond broken and corrupt. Who cares what these congressmen and senators do or don't do or vote on? That's where I'm coming from. Somebody has got to take over, okay? This system, can you imagine, you know, you and I could make a list and we could have an hour show and go through everything, right? The justice system, the media, the money system, every single thing, everything you look at is completely gone. It's got to be, like, in my opinion, start over. Talk about a reset. We need a reset, not the kind that the World Economic Forum has in mind for us. They're trying to destroy everything about this country. We're getting the sort of treatment that we have been giving to other countries, right? We're ruining their elections. We're destabilizing their society. We're privatizing their assets. We're wrecking their economy. We're making sure that the people are subjected to oppression and they don't have rights. This is the kind of thing that our intelligence community, our military-industrial complex, the Anglo-American Empire, as you call it, has been doing to other nations for a long time at the behest of you-know-who. Now it's turning on us. They're trying to do it to us. So it's either, are we men enough? Is there people in the government, such as Trump at the moment, man enough to put an end to it, to put their foot down, draw the line in the sand and say, this is it. You guys are done. I personally don't believe all this QAnon and X-22 report type crap, but I do see glimpses. I do see glimmers here and there. I don't trust Giuliani at all, at all. I do trust Sidney Powell, and I do trust Jenna Ellis. And anyway, that's my little rant.
Well, but Paul, how can you say it doesn't matter how they vote if, in fact, on January 6th, after a hearing about the evidence, they actually vote to correct the record and accept the Trump electors?
Because you know how it's going to go down. You know it.
I'm sorry?
I'm predicting it. Because you know how it's going to go down. It's kind of like, what do you care about a court decision? What do you care? I mean, that's the spirit of which I made this. I don't give a damn about what they say or don't say. And the bottom line is I'm predicting if it's going to be left to the Congress or the Senate or whatever, that the fix is in. That's the message to carry away from this, right? Is it not? The fix is in. You know that these people have made their minds up. As you said on your shows many, many times, they're putting all their chips in the table, right? Is that what you're saying?
Look, Paul. I have a fundamental disagreement with you because I believe enough are going to do the right thing that it will alter the outcome. But I'll guarantee you this, if they do not, there's a series of events that are going to occur in rapid order, including potentially invoking the Insurrection Act and potentially the people beginning to rise up and take action against the traitors in the American government.
Okay.
And I'm not talking about tea and crumpet. I'm talking about real violent action by patriots who are not going to turn this country over to the Chinese communists and the Biden crime family. Whereas Mitchell was reporting, Ukraine has just issued an indictment for the Biden crime family for offenses they committed in Ukraine just today.
That's theater. Okay, so let's make a bet out of it then. So I'll give you that the third part, the civilian thing. That might take place. But let's make another $20 bet here that they're not going to vote to do the right thing and that Trump will not, you know, invoke the Insurrection Act. That's my
sure.
bet, 20 bucks.
Sure.
All right.
We can double it. We can make two $20 bets.
Well, the other one was no action, you know, so...
But Paul, you're on, and you are very gracious to suggest in relation to our prior bet that since the game was never played, that the bet was off. But I'm certainly glad to accept in this instance. Let me bring in Mitchell. Mitchell, please offer your commentary on what Paul has had to say here. Do you share his profound skepticism, his cynicism about what's taking place as all political theater of no account?
Three-fourths of what Paul says, yeah. I believe there is some stuff going on. I'm really skeptical. I really have this fear, this feeling that Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood have been snookered into some kind of lawfare trap and that they, you know, that they're looking at some lawsuits coming at them that's really going to tie them down and diminish their reputation and ability. But and I really think that was all a trap. I really think that, you know, they were fed, you know, fake information basically. And, you know, this while everybody says Trump is playing 5D chess, let me tell you, he's not playing the game alone. And Trump is trying to play the long game, which means that he's not going to run the Insurrection Act, I don't believe. I believe he's going to bring out as much evidence as I can. And I wouldn't be surprised if Trump just has, for 1 week, he just has dump after dump after dump, day after day. He just literally brings out documents that he's Xeroxed and have digital copies of them and just hand them out to the media and post them online. I believe that's his biggest weapon that he has right now, because the FBI is criminal and the DOJ right. is criminal for suborning the insurrection, the sedition and the treason of the other of other government officials and agencies. So, you know, revolution. Yeah, we need it big time. We need to take out 10 layers of government management everywhere, particularly the federal level. But that's right. Just the start.
And just quickly to agree with a lot of what Mitch said, but also to make the point when, you know, where I was coming from, Jim, and I think you can understand this, is congressmen and senators, okay? You know, they make you want to throw up, right? I mean, look at these people. Look at somebody like Mitch McConnell. Just what does he look like? You know, he looks like he just want to kick his ass.
He has disgraced himself, Paul. He has disgraced himself.
Okay, but there's a greater. But,
go ahead. I get your point. Most of them are massively corrupt.
Right. It's kind of like most of the American people don't give a damn about what they say or do. I mean, a 5,000 page bill. Are you serious? I mean, even if you read 100 pages a day, right, which is, you know, pretty tall order. But let's say that you were to dedicate yourself and drink a lot of coffee and say read 200 pages a day. How long would it take you to read a 5,000 page bill? It's a joke. It's a joke. They slap us in the face all the time. They mock us. You know, there's a lot of people out there like me that think this way. They might not articulate it, but first of all, A, we either don't care what they say or do, or we just want them gone. We just want them finished, leveled to the ground, smoldering ruins. I mean, you talk about all these different angles and legal strategies. What a bunch of bullshit. This is what made me sick about the law. Why do you have to have all these different little ways and strategies and say the words just so and use special phrases and, you know, pull up? It's ridiculous. Court and law should be simple. You make your factual allegations, assuming you have jurisdiction, which court does or doesn't have, depends on, you know, the venue. You make your factual allegations and you support your factual allegations with evidence. And then the decision is made. It's that simple. You've experienced just a taste of it. I have too, and I've also seen and read what a lot of other people experience. Our legal system is ridiculous. It needs to be leveled to the ground. That's just where I come from. So that's why, in my opinion, this has got to be either Insurrection Act, military takeover, or nothing. That's just me.
Mitchell.
Well, yeah, you know, and I don't think Trump is going to go for the Insurrection Act just for the simple fact of what it details. And I think another one of the reasons why he just went ahead and signed this stupid stimulus bill was because there was so much pork in it, because then he, you know, it's Pelosi and all their doings that they only got 600 and not 2000. And, you know, he said they're supposed to pass it and fix it and everything, you know. And, you know, listen, I don't trust any of them, in all honesty. And when I look at government, I see one party. I see the duopoly. You know, Mitch McConnell, even though he shit his pants and he hasn't cleaned it up yet, I mean, that's what the look on his face. He's got a Chinese wife that's got connections to the CCP. You know, right. I mean, come on, you know, how many times do we have to, you know, get screwed by the same people?
That's a great point.
Just quick,
yes. Go ahead.
Quickly. So on this 2,000 or 600, total bullshit. There's a great article right now up on National Vanguard based upon real numbers, and they suggested that if they really wanted to help the American people and stimulate the economy, that there is so much money in that bill that every American family could have got $10,000. Now, this is the amount of money that the vast majority of working people struggle to ever come close to saving, right? As you've probably heard and you've covered on this show, Jim, that the average working family doesn't have anything more than a few weeks or a couple of months worth of actual savings. So if they were to give, and there's plenty of money in that bill, they did the math, okay, based on how many trillions of dollars or whatever is in it, that $10,000 could go out to the – can you imagine the boon – how good people would feel and the boon to the economy that would be if they were interested in having any kind of an economy. They're not interested. It's all about destruction. They want to destroy us. That's why we got to put up a fight and try to destroy them. That's just my opinion. I don't care about politics anymore, but I call this show socially. This is my, you know, this is to all the people that take a run at me in comment sections. I'm calling to help you fill airtime, but you very well demonstrated, Jim, that sometimes you don't need any help. I got to admit that was one of the more awesome diatribes I've heard you take earlier today when I asked you about military intelligence. Man, I just pushed a button and you went.
Well, I really appreciate. Well, it's not the first time it's arisen or that I've addressed it, but I appreciate you bringing it up, Paul, and also all of your skepticism, because I'm trying to, you know, test my conjectures about what's going to happen, and you provide a very valuable sounding board for an alternative critical opinion, which I value enormously. I mean, you and Mitchell both today have made wonderful contributions to help us think things through. I will affirm that January 6th is going to be a fateful day for the nation, that I believe there will be action taken by the Congress to set things right. But I also agree that if they are not set right by the Congress, that either the president will take decisive action or it will be left up to we the people. And I can guarantee you that there are a very large number of Americans who care enough about their nation that they're not going to voluntarily allow it to be subjugated by representatives of the Chinese Communist Party, where, by the way, the latest reports I have on the Dominion machines is that the numbers were actually routed through China to make sure the vote would come out in favor of their preferred candidate, who is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the Chinese Communist Party. Joe Biden, Hunter Biden, Jim Biden, the Biden crime family have done more dealing in criminal enterprise with China and the Chinese Communist Party than all other American politicians put together, I have no doubt whatsoever. And the very idea of imposing another lockdown or a nationwide mask mandate or mandating vaccinations is so damaging to the American people that he's really right. Demonstrating he's a facilitator of the Deagle projections that between now and 2025, U.S. population is going to drop from 330 million in 2020 to less than 100 million in 2025. So we're going to lose 235 million, roughly speaking, to a combination of effects, including the wearing of masks, which kills brain cells. We're going to kill ourselves slowly with all these mandates. It's completely outrageous, and they're using Joe and Kamala's instruments of our devastation. Yes, go ahead.
Okay, well, that part may be true, but I wish you would really stop talking about this Deagle thing. I mean, nobody really knows about that anyway, and I just don't see it as even in the realm of possibility. But you never know. I mean, I could be wrong, but everybody, I think, sees pretty clearly, if they have the capability to see clearly, of what the intent of these people are. Okay. It's look, there was a headline in the local rag sheet, the San Jose News, Mercury News, it used to be called. It's just a Jew rag now for 25 years or more. Well, anyway, this headline, two or three days before Christmas, said, are you ready for this one? This is bonus, wonderful Christmas news. Here's what it said. Stay-at-home orders likely to be extended. You know, this is what these people are about. They're constantly trying to make us unhappy and miserable and fearful. That's all they do. And I've had a couple of people express to me, people I know casually that I stores I go to, where this one guy, you know, he's kind of open to what I've said, but he still wears a mask every day to work because he feels like he has to, even though I told him, no, your employers can't really make you and you need to go and do some paperwork. I can help you.
But he hasn't taken me up on it. Paul, thank you so much for calling in today. All right. I'm really grateful. You're underestimating the significance of the Deagle projections. Go through, take a look. All the nations have very reasonable, modest increases or decreases. The United States has dramatic. Paul, no more from you. The point I'm making is the bad guys believe if they tell the American people what they're going to do, and if the American people don't do anything,
who owns you? If you're not in
control,
then someone else is.
They are out.
Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of